You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to The Punt. We have a weekend of FA Cup football as we move on to the fifth round. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined by Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern. How are you guys?
Very well, lads. Very well.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. I had a great fun listening to The Punt last weekend. I wasn't on it. Mark Steele, William Hill trader, was on. I thought, brilliant. Get an expert on in place of me. Let him pick the nap. He only went with Everton and both teams to score. Oh, my God. I thought Derek must have given him that one.
Well, didn't I go for Villa? Didn't I chump that by going for Villa?
I wasn't going to bring that up, Derek, but seeing as you have. Is that the worst nap you've ever had in the history of the Punt podcast?
It's the worst nap anybody's ever had in any sphere.
In the history of anything.
As every goal went in, I was just thinking, can I just keep texting Villa? Villa? To you.
It was a shocker, wow. Wasn't it? Absolute shocker.
FA Cup fifth round this weekend then, guys. We've still got some pretty big guns in the tournament as well. You looking forward to it?
No.
Always.
Well, I tell you what, the only reason I'm looking forward to it is that I think I'm going to back Everton, as Lee will know. I love Everton. I hate them really, but I love them this season because I think they're fab. And I'm going to back them to win the trophy because it's the only thing they've got going for them. And I think they'll go all out for it. And I'm going to back them. And I'm going to back them this weekend as well.
All right, I think they're a pretty good price this weekend, to be fair, personally. All right, well, on the subject of winners, Lee, have you got an idea of an FA Cup winner at the moment? Putting you on the spot.
Arsenal. Three out of three. No, I actually think Chelsea have got a really good chance if they get through this weekend, obviously. But I think, you know, Hiddink will obviously want to leave with something. Won it last time with them. So I think there's still some big guns in the tournament now. And while they're in there, I think, you know, that once they get serious about it, then they can. I think Everton, like Derek said, got a great chance as well. So, yeah, I think it's pretty wide open, really.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get stuck into this weekend's matches then. We start with Arsenal against Hull. This is at 12:45 on Saturday. Arsenal are 4-7. The draw is 13-5. Hull are 6-1. Arsenal have met Hull in the FA Cup for the past, well, this will be the third season, and they won it the last twice. So is it a good omen for Arsenal to play Hull in the FA Cup? We'll start with you, Derek.
Well, yeah, possibly. But, you know, there's a big if here for Arsenal, isn't it? And the if surrounds a team called Barcelona, who they're due to play on Tuesday. If you're an Arsenal player, you've got to have at least 1.5 eyes on that match. There's a danger of complacency against Hull, and that will be a danger because Hull are going great guns in the Championship, top of the table. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong here. I could have sworn, I'd have put money on this, that Hull went to Arsenal a few seasons ago and won 1-0, and they were 20-1. Am I getting that wrong? Didn't it went under the Phil Brown days when they first came up to the Premiership about 5 or 6 years ago? I could have sworn they won 1-0 at Arsenal, and it was 20. They were 20s. Well, maybe it was Man United they won at, but it was a big team. And now we're having to look at our odds of 6-1. It doesn't cut the mustard for me. That I think Arsenal are beatable, principally because of that Barcelona tie coming up. But I don't think your odds compilers are giving anything away. What I will point punters in the direction of is Hull's defensive record, which is very good indeed. They don't concede many goals. Furthermore, their last five games have been 0-0 at half-time. That's more than a blip. And I would suggest a draw at half-time, Arsenal to win at full-time at 3-1 could be the way to play here.
All right, nice way in there. What do you make of it, Lee?
Yeah, that is interesting, Wayne, actually. I was looking at the Barcelona thing has to be, you know, it has to be a major factor. Because, you know, it's the be-all and end-all for their season at the moment, Arsenal. But I don't think... I mean, no one would obviously say that, you know, going out of the Champions League is part of their plan, you know. But, you know, I think if they could win the Premier League, they would take that over the Champions League this season if you could only win one of them. I think that would be massive to Arsenal fans and to Wenger. So, you know, I don't think they will weaken down massively for the FA Cup match just to make sure they've got a team ready for Barcelona, personally. I think it'd be worse going into the Barcelona game off the back of a loss or a poor performance. I think you need a bit of momentum. And you know, even if Arsenal do weaken down, Steve Bruce has said, and I quote, making changes for the FA Cup game is the only option I've got. They've got Tuesday and Friday games to come. He did say Nick Powell will play. There's no place for the Arsenal loanees at Pommel or Hayden. So I think they're going to be weakened down more than Arsenal will be weakened down. And, you know, and if we were going, you know, Hull City reserves against Arsenal reserves, I'd still probably take the Arsenal reserves at home anyway. And I think Arsenal probably have a stronger team than the Hull one that goes out there. And I think I'm a strong believer, and I know I think Derek probably agrees with this, that if a manager says that I'm weakening down and making wholesale changes, it does send a message. And I think the players do get that message. So I'm with Arsenal here. I think I was reading a piece about goals in the fifth round. Many of the games, I think it's 60% of the games over the last 5 or 6 years, over 2.5 has landed. It actually lands in a lot more of the games where there's no top club in them, i.e. you know, your top six in the Premier League. But I think this is one where Arsenal will win this, and I think they'll try and get it done relatively quickly. I wouldn't be against Derek's bet, to be honest with you, but I can see goals in it. So I'd be looking at Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals here. I think Hull could nick one. But I think Arsenal can either win this 2-1, or they can maybe even get three past Hull. I think Hull will have their eyes firmly on getting back to the Premier League.
Well, an Arsenal winning over 2.5 goals is 13-10 in the betting there. And I suppose it's kind of obvious when you say it, given that they've won the last two FA Cups. But it's 14 consecutive rounds that Arsenal have won in the FA Cup now. Yeah. And Arsene Wenger's record against lower league opposition is quite phenomenal. 40 games, 31 wins and only one defeat.
Yeah, and I think actually the FA Cup has kind of paved the way for them to be more confident, to have this tilt at the Premier League this season, because it's got them back into winning things. It's a hard habit to break, isn't it? And so I think a lot of those players will have obviously been to Wembley twice and won the cup, and they'll have a nice feeling about the cup now. So even if it's a weaker team for Arsenal, they'll still have a winning mentality, in my opinion.
Okay, so Arsenal for Lee and over 2.5 goals. And Derek, you're going with draw half time, but Arsenal still to probably.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if that doesn't win, it's not. You don't feel so bad about backing a 3-1 loser. It's when you're backing 4-7 losers that it's painful.
Yeah. On the subject of backing losers, and let's move on to the second game. Bournemouth against Everton, Saturday at 5:15. Bournemouth 11-5. The draw 11-5, and Everton are 13-10. If this is anything like when these two sides met earlier on in the season, we should be in for a cracker. We'll start with you, Lee, this time.
Yeah, well, another game where Everton chucked away 2 points that time, wasn't it? They managed to get themselves into a 3-2 lead in stoppage time and still managed to draw the game at Bournemouth. Look, Bournemouth have made 11 changes against Birmingham and beat them, 10 changes against Portsmouth and beat them to get to this stage. Both those games required goals in the last 5 minutes to win them, though, so they were tight. And I was reading a couple of the forums from the Bournemouth fans, and they were kind of saying if they put out a kind of similar midfield to the one they put out against Portsmouth, Everton will run all over them. Now, Eddie Howe's kind of said, I'm going to surprise you with my team selection, but there will be changes. I think he'll probably make changes again here, but I don't know if he'll go 10 or 11, because I think, you know, I don't think they want to be battered, and Everton could batter them. You know, Everton are that strange team we've been kind of, you know, messing about, arguing about them all season, really. They're three successive 3-0 wins. Everything's rosy. They lose at home to West Brom by a single goal to nil. I mean, you can't predict where they're going to go and what they're going to do next. But I do think they'll beat Bournemouth here. And I think this is another one for the over 2.5. I think both teams will score here, actually. I mean, I know Mark went with Everton and both teams to score last week. And that's the bet I'm going for this week. I think Everton will go there. They know they can score goals against this Bournemouth defence. And if it's weaker than it normally is, then I think they'll go for it. No weakening down from Everton. I think the manager, obviously, has got a love for the FA Cup. And, you know, Everton need to win something. They need to be in with a chance of winning something at the very least. So I see them going to Bournemouth, winning, and maybe even winning well, something like a 3-1. I thought the way Stoke dismantled Bournemouth, you know, just by being clinical finishers, basically, I think we could see something similar here.
Everton to win and both teams to score, by the way, is 16-5. And we kind of already know from earlier on in this piece, Derek, you're going to probably side with Everton as well?
I cannot see anything but a comfortable Everton win. I'd have fancied them big time had it been a league match and Bournemouth were full strength, but Bournemouth will weaken down. It's a certainty. Well, they have to, because, you know, you look where they are in the Premier League, they're dangerously close to the relegation zone, and that's all that matters with all the TV money kicking in. If you're a Bournemouth chairman or a Bournemouth bigwig, you want your club up in the Premier League next season. It doesn't matter what happens in the FA Cup this time around. And you know, there's the evidence, the fact that they've weakened down massively in the last two rounds. For Everton, this is the only game in town. Ignore that game against West Brom last week. Yep, they lost. It was a sickener. Probably let down a million coupons. But, they, you know, nine times out of ten, they'd have won that convincingly, the chances they had. They put three in against Stoke, three against Newcastle, three against Carlisle. I can see them putting three past Bournemouth. Any odds against you can, it won't be odds against come kick-off time, mark my words, any odds against you can get for Everton here, back them, because they're absolute certainties.
All right, yeah, 13-10 at the moment, Everton. So not just odds against, quite a generous price.
That's a great price. It's a great price, that, to be fair. I think we might all be napping that, might we?
Yeah. I'm putting DK's napping this week, so I might try and get him a winner.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Aruna Kone is a player I want to mention as well, purely because if he gets a start, he's scored in the last two rounds. You think he's worth a go here if Martinez wants to make a few changes?
Yeah, I don't think Martinez will make changes because they haven't got to get, you know, the next game's what next, it's ages away, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, why would they, no reason to weaken down in any way whatsoever, but that's not to say Kone won't play. I mean, he always looks dangerous when he does play, and yeah, you know, I wouldn't quibble about that one.
It's a pretty unanimous decision though on Everton there then, yeah?
Well, I can't say you can make a case for Bournemouth. One thing I would say is that they played Liverpool in, I think it was the League Cup earlier this season at Anfield, and they did have an understrength side that day, and I was at that game, and they did look quite a tidy side. But Liverpool weren't at it that day, and Everton will definitely be bang at it this weekend, plus the fact Everton are a better side.
Fair enough. On to Sunday's games. Blackburn Rovers against West Ham is the first of them. That's at 2 p.m. with Blackburn at 21-10, the draw 21-10 as well. And West Ham are 7-5. Blackburn still sitting 18th in the Championship, despite a little bit of a turnaround in form. And they take on a West Ham side who have struggled away from home of late, but they did have that record at the start of the season where they seemed to go away from home against the big boys and beat them. So can they recapture that here, Derek?
Well, I'm a bit worried about West Ham because they seem to have gone off the boil. The only team they've beaten in the last six matches were Aston Villa, you know, and that's no great shakes. OK, they played Liverpool twice in that time and Manchester City. But, you know, drawing at Norwich, losing against Southampton, they're nowhere near the form they were, in the first half of the season. I don't know. I'm finding them a hard team to read at the moment. But I can't get worked up about Blackburn at these kind of odds because Blackburn are a side that, you know, are still in relegation trouble in the Championship. West Ham, if they regain anywhere near the form they showed early in the season, they should win this easily and they shouldn't be odds against. But it's a big if at the moment where the Hammers are concerned. I've got a sneaking fancy for the draw here. The last two times these sides met at Ewood Park, going back four or five seasons, finished 0-0 and then 1-1. I can see another draw coming on here.
Okay, draw is 21-10 in the betting there. What do you make of it, Lee? Are you similarly on the fence here?
No, I'm really surprised. I thought I might be fighting Derek for a nap here, to be honest with you. This is one of my top picks for my nap of the week here. I couldn't believe the price.
West Ham.
Yeah. It's 7-5. I mean, this is relegation threatened Blackburn in the Championship, by the way. And added to that, some hints that they're not going to go as strong as they should. There's no fans turning up. They're imploring the fans to try and get to Ewood Park to actually make it some sort of occasion. This has not got the kind of hallmarks of an upset for me at all. I was looking for it, thinking, why are they 7-5? Now, the only problem that West Ham have got really, and it's a reasonable problem, I grant you, is that they've got some pretty big defensive issues at right-back. They've got no recognised right-back fit at the moment. But, you know, I think Mikel Antonio's been deputising there and he'll probably have to do it again. Well, if he's been doing that in the Premier League, and they've kind of been getting away with it, then he'll be able to do it against Championship players. I just love Bilic's comments about this. We talked about this before the Liverpool tie, when they were a bit drab in the first game. But that last game against Liverpool, that late night, under the lights, a lot of the West Ham fans and the phone-ins afterwards were saying that could be our last ever cup tie, you know, at the ground. If it is the last ever cup tie we see at our ground, what an unbelievable way to go out, you know. And, the commentators, everyone who was at that game were eulogising about what an amazing occasion it was. And I think that magic is starting to flow through the club a little bit. The magic was in inverted commas there, by the way, of the FA Cup. And Bilic keeps saying, doesn't he, he'd rather win this than get into the Champions League places. Before this match, he said, in answer to the question about team news, are you going to rest players? He said, I don't need to rest players. We want to win the game. We want to go as far as we can in the competition. That's enough for me. I think there'll be too much for Blackburn. A motivated West Ham. I think they'll be more motivated for the FA Cup at the moment than they probably are motivated in the Premier League. So I'm going to go for West Ham just to win, and it'll be my nap as well.
Yeah, Bilic has been very bullish about the FA Cup, and I suppose the dream scenario would then be they've got quite an easy tie really in respect to the rest of the draw. They get through this, and then possibly a quarter final at home in the Champions League could be the FA Cup could be the way to end their spell at Upton Park on a real high, couldn't it? So
it could well be. I think that's what he's got in mind. I think someone like Bilic his nose. I mean, he's played in with foreign managers sometimes. They haven't got that affinity with the cup competitions. Bilic has played in the English game. He knows what the FA Cup means. So he's come into this and he's saying the right things. And I think he's doing the right things as well. No reason to rest players. As Derek said about Everton, they've got, it's like a normal week for them. Why would you rest players? It's pointless.
Fair enough. Difference of opinion there then. West Ham for Lee and the draw for Derek. On to possibly the biggest game of the weekend. Chelsea against Man City, Sunday at 4 p.m. Chelsea 4-5, the draw 5-2. Man City are 7-2. We'll start with you this time, Lee. Chelsea have a good record in the FA Cup under Gus Hiddink. In fact, he's never lost an FA Cup match with Chelsea. He's played 5, won 5, and he guided them to the trophy in 2009. Man City will have bigger things on their mind as well, won't they, with the Champions League coming up this week?
Yeah, they will indeed. Yeah, I think, this is pretty clear to me, to be fair. Pellegrini and City have made it clear that they're unhappy with the timings of this game. Because of the fact that they've got the Champions League just around the corner. They're going to Kiev. It's not an easy ride for them. And he said he's going to play the kids. How many kids he plays is debatable. But I'm not one of those... I usually lambast managers for saying that they're going to do this, that they're going to play kids and disrespect competitions. I think, and Derek, I think, would agree with this, the footballers, what's the problem? But I think on this occasion, he's actually got a point. And I would not, if I was Pellegrini, I would not play Kompany. I would not play Silva. I would not play Torre. I would not play Aguero. I wouldn't risk those players when, for the first time since they've been in the Champions League, they've actually got a group that they can get out. They've got a game that they can get out of. They can get further on here. This is a golden opportunity for Manchester City. They've done the hard work in the group. So, I think they should rest the players here.
Hang on a second, Lee.
Described it as Chelsea's final. I mean, you can't get two polar opposite approaches to this match, can you? One manager saying that he's going to play the kids, and the other one saying it's the final for them. So it's Chelsea all day long for me. I'm actually going to go for Chelsea and over 2.5. So I think City could score. I think it might be quite an open game, this one, especially if City do play the kids. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Chelsea and over 2.5. I've got a little sneaky suspicion that City could get turned over here if they don't approach it in the right way. And I think all the stuff that they've said means that they probably won't approach it in the right way. So I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea beat them quite well here, to be honest with you. But Chelsea and over 2.5 is the bet.
17-10 for that to happen. I sense you're going to disagree, Derek.
Well, hang on a second. They're playing on Wednesday.
I'll be fine,
mate. And then they're playing on Sunday. What's the problem? Sunday, Wednesday, what's the problem? I mean, how many teams have done that in the European Cup in over the years? I'm sure Liverpool did it a million times when they won it in 2005. I don't know what he's griping about. Sunday and then play on Wednesday? Big deal. Honestly, what's the problem? It's a midweek game after a Sunday game. Did you do that 1,000 times a season?
I'm not
having it.
So you're not buying into it then? Do you think City will win?
Come on, Derek. I mean, I normally agree with you, but that's crazy. They've got to fly to Kiev.
Kiev's not that far. It isn't. You have a look. Kiev ain't that far.
That's absolutely
it probably takes about 3 hours, Kiev.
Now, you've got a chance of winning the Premier League, the Champions League and the FA Cup.
I'll tell you what, I bet you're going to Southern...
But you're worried about winning one of them. Nah, I'm not having
Southern Spain or Southern Italy will take just as far as going to Kiev. You have a look. I'll Google it as soon as we put this down. I bet you there won't be much in it. Probably about 10 minutes. That's about it. I'm not having it. But I agree that I'm going for Chelsea because they're the side on the upswing and Manchester City are quite the opposite. And, there was so many ways of looking at how City would do after Pellegrini said he was going to quit and Guardiola was coming in. And it harks back to what Big Ron said all those years ago. Players don't need to look too far for an excuse to down tools. They're happy. Imagine if you're a Premier League footballer and you're playing week after week after week and another game, oh God, we're Liverpool next week. God, Arsenal next week. When do we ever get a break here? And then all of a sudden the manager says he's going and, it doesn't matter what we play. He's not going to be here. We can start afresh next season. And that's what seems to be happening with City right now. I thought it was a catastrophic error by City to allow that news to come out, even if everybody was talking about it behind the scenes. And you look at their results and performances since then, they've been dismal. So I'm going to go for Chelsea here. They've got the bit between the teeth right now, Chelsea, I think. Yeah, a bit of a disappointment against Paris Saint-Germain in midweek, but I didn't think they played that badly, to be honest. And I like the look of Chelsea here. I'm going to go for them.
All right, maybe disagreeing over the theory, but both with Chelsea there then. On to Monday evening's televised game, Shrewsbury Town. The Minnows host Manchester United. Shrewsbury are 7-1. The draw is 7-2. Man United are 2-5. Shrewsbury sitting 19th in League One, but they've got a dream FA Cup tie for themselves at home to a club like Manchester United. A club, though, that's in a bit of bother. They've got several injury problems. They were beaten by Midtjylland in the Europa League in midweek. The pressure's all over Van Gaal. What do you make of it, Derek? Is this prime for an upset here?
No. I think Man United at 2-5 is buying money, I really do. Firstly, if they were at Old Trafford, they'd be something like 1-6. But I'd rather back them away from home anyway, because we've seen all season long they're a much different team away from home. Now, Shrewsbury, you look at their home form. Nobody, apart from Dagenham and Redbridge, who are bottom of League Two, no one has lost more games at home than Shrewsbury. 10 games they've lost out of 15 at home. I mean, you know, and then they're playing against a team with a great away record. The prices are wrong. United are absolute certainties here at 2-5. I just, hyperboles fail me. They're absolutely certainties to win.
All right, how do you put a bit more meat on the bone then, rather than the 2-5? Is there any other ways in you?
Well, that's the thing, you see. I mean, for the big hitters, who's going to? You know, it's a no brainer that they'll have that all day long. It's people like me who no interest whatsoever. And you're looking at Shrewsbury, 2-5 holds no interest whatsoever. Shrewsbury don't score that many goals on home soil. So, matches like this, when you've got a team from League One who don't score many goals anyway against League One opponents who are playing against international defenders. I've got to go for Man United to win while keeping a clean sheet, which, I'm guessing, I'm just looking down the list, looking for it now, but I'm guessing it'll be around about 11-10, maybe a little bit more.
23-20.
Yeah, I'd suggest that looks a very fine bet.
All right, what do you make of it, Lee?
Yeah, I can't really argue with too much that Derek said. I looked at that and I was very surprised what that happened to them in the Europa League. But it didn't really change my opinion on this game too much, to be honest with you. Derek mentioned Ron Atkinson earlier in the podcast, and this game reminded me of him, Derek, because when I was looking at the previews on the Shrewsbury side of stuff, Mickey Mellon, the manager, said we've had a few niggling injuries the last few weeks, but it's funny how when the cup comes around, the physio becomes unemployed. And Ron always used to say that, whenever a big cup match came around, all of a sudden all the players who were had hamstrings and little tweaks here and there would be like, yeah, I'm fine now. And he said everyone's ready to play apart from the long-term injuries. I don't think there's been any Lazarus-like kind of jumping off the sick bed, but everyone who is available, who can be available, is available for Shrewsbury all of a sudden now. It'll be what it'll be. They're sold out, they were queuing around the block to get tickets. Even this Man United team obviously draws a lot of spectators to a club like Shrewsbury. Look, I mean, if the weather's absolutely shocking and all the ingredients are there for a bit of a shock, then maybe you could start making an argument on Monday about, how Shrewsbury can maybe, put it up Man United and all that sort of stuff. But as it stands at the minute, if we're thinking about this on an 11-level playing field, and with Derek, I go for Man United. One thing, I think we talked about this, Mark, about Martial being able to, he's obviously a very good player, very good player in the Premier League, and I think he shines even more against lower-level defences. I think he's got a little bit of class that just, when you put him up against lower-league defenders, it looks like he's about 3 years further down the line than he actually is. So I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Martial to score, providing he's fit. Everyone seems to be dropping like flies at the minute with Man United. Martial to score and Manchester United to win. I mean, if De Gea's out, then it'd be interesting to start looking at the defensive line, because he is so good. I'd love to find out some stats on how many goals he saved for them this season, because he's obviously a special keeper. And if he's not in the net, then the defence might be a little bit more brittle all of a sudden. If he's not playing, I wouldn't mind looking at Man United and both teams to score. I'll go for Martial to score and Man United to win.
That's enhanced odds, Lee. 5-4 for Martial to score and Man United to win.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're so generous, aren't they?
I suppose it depends if he plays, but against Derby, he was a class apart, and Shrewsbury is even further away than Derby in terms of class.
Yeah, exactly, so. So you think if he's playing, which he probably will because there's no one else to play, and they score a couple, maybe three goals, then he should be amongst the scorers.
All right, let's move on to some of the non-televised games in the FA Cup then. We'll start with Watford against Leeds, which is at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Watford are 4-6, the draw 13-5, Leeds are 9-2. Premiership side against Championship side. Derek, is it as simple as that?
Well, I did fancy Watford when I looked at the fixtures, but looking at the prices, I don't fancy them. I think they're criminally short. Leeds are no mugs, are they? They've been decent. You know, I've claimed one or two scalps in the FA Cup over recent seasons. Was it those goals from Beckford? Was it against Man United 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah.
They're not losing too many games away from home either for a team that's sort of lower reaches of the Championship. Good result for them on Monday night against Middlesbrough as well, I think it was. And you know, I've got the sneakings of an upset in this game. Put a gun to my head, if there has to be a winner, I'd go for Watford. Good result for them last week, etc. You know, the Leeds defence might find their two strikers hard to combat. But there comes a time when they become no bets, and 8-13, 4-6, that's no bet territory for me for Watford. They're not a side I want to back at those kind of odds, no matter who the opponents. Well, have I got enough faith in Leeds at these kind of odds? What I might do is go out, play safe. I'll do take a leap from Leeds' book and go for Leeds with a goal start at a shade of odds against.
Leeds plus a goal is 5-4.
Yeah, that seems mighty fine. I mean, you know, well, come on. If I was playing bookie for the day, I'd want to lay Watford at 4-6 in this game, rather than Leeds at 9-2.
What do you make of it, Lee?
I think Watford win this game. I think there aren't enough goals in Leeds' team to combat Watford, I don't think. I mean, I tell you what, when you look through the matches that these two have played against each other in recent years, there are so many goals in the matches. It's ridiculous, really. I'll just run back through a few of them. 3-2 to Watford last season at Elland Road. 4-1 in the home game. Leeds had two players sent off in that match, by the way. Watford won 3-0 at Vicarage Road in April of 2014. It was 3-3 at Elland Road back in December of 2013, and 2-1 to Leeds back in the season before that. So over 2.5 has landed in all those games. And then the game before that, Watford won 6-1 at Elland Road back in 2011. So over 2.5, over 3.5, over 4.5 has landed in a lot of games between these two. And there's one other common thread. Troy Deeney, in six of those games, he scored 5 times in those. The other one, he got sent off. So he always features in these games between Leeds and Watford. And I think he's another man to get on board here with. We know he's been good in the Premier League this season. I love a mug bet, me. And he obviously loves playing against Leeds. So, look, I'm either going to go Watford and over 2.5 goals, or I'm going to go Watford to win and Troy Deeney to score. Hit me with the prices, Mark.
Troy Deeney to score is 13-10. I'm just trying to put them together with
That might be good enough on its own, to be fair. But yeah. I think Watford can outgun Leeds. I don't think Leeds have got enough capability. I think they've got other things on the plate anyway. Good that they're not on TV, by the way. He must have been chuffed with that, the owner.
Yeah, he's got to be in his bonus over that, isn't he? Who'd have thought Leeds would be on the telly so often this season? Not even Leeds fans want to watch Leeds.
He didn't got a TV licence,
is it? Not even Leeds fans want to watch Leeds. Talk to a lad who's born and bred in Leeds.
I'm surprised it took him that long. He's not that quick on the uptake.
I'm actually on delay like yourself there, Lee, with the Skype. I was furious in the studio far before that. I'm also waiting for this Troy Deeney in a Watford win to turn up, but my PC seems to have completely ground to a halt, which is...
Oh, I'm sure that it's such a good tip that I'm sure the listeners can find it for themselves.
Do you want to enhance the Troy Deeney mug bet factor? Apparently Troy Deeney's dad is a Leeds fan.
That it all fits, doesn't it? Troy Deeney will score in this game. 13-10 is probably good enough if you want to take the result out of it, but yeah, I do think Watford will win as well.
17-10 for Deeney to score any time and Watford to win, by the way.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right, let's move on. Reading against West Brom then. Reading are 17-10. The draw 21-10. West Brom are also 17-10. We'll start with you here, Derek. This is a game that I wouldn't have much of an opinion in at the moment.
Well, I have, funnily enough. This is one of the games I'm licking my lips about. I tell you what, I've watched Reading a couple of times this season and I've thought, what a side. And I can't believe, every time I look at their results in the Championship, I can't believe they're not winning. They're a bit like, they're the Championship version, in my eyes, of Everton in the Premier League. They're a side that are much better than the results they're getting right now. And I've been waiting for this game to come along, because I'm going to lump. In fact, Everton and Reading could well be my nap, surefire, copper bottom double this weekend, because I don't see West Brom being at it in this game. I mean, you know, it's... If you Tony Pulis, they never seem at it anyway. They seem content to draw nil-nil no matter what game they're in. And are they far enough away from relegation trouble, do you reckon, in the Premier League to give the cup their all? I'm not sure that they are. I like Reading. I actually think Reading got a better team than West Brom. I know that sounds daft. I know it sounds absolutely daft. But for sheer talent, Reading can beat West Brom. I think your odds compilers have got it wrong in making West Brom joint favourites for this game. Reading will win this.
Confidence selection then from Derek. Do you also fancy the Championship underdogs here, Lee, or how do you see it going?
No, in complete contrast, it's probably one of the least appealing games to me on the Cooper Murray. I haven't got any strong feelings. I mean, I know what Derek says about Reading, but it never strikes me as the sort of place that you go and you feel like you're in fear. I think it's kind of the kind of Championship ground you go to as a Premier League player and feel quite at home, really. Nice enough stadium and all that sort of stuff. But it's just difficult to know what West Brom are going to do. I mean, Derek's right about West Brom. They're not the greatest team in the world, but they did beat the 2016-17 Premier League champions 1-0 at their place last weekend. So, you know, they've got something about them. It's not one that... remind me of the price for West Brom again, Mark, sorry.
West Brom are 17-10.
That's a ludicrous price, isn't it, when you think about it? I'm going to go for West Brom. It's a silly price, that, at a Championship club.
No, that Lee, change your mind. That bet will not cop. I guarantee you that.
I think if they can go to Everton and win 1-0, they can go to Reading and do the same.
Let's move on to the final game of the FA Cup fifth round. Then Tottenham against Crystal Palace. Tottenham are 4-6. The draw 13-5. Crystal Palace are 9-2. Lee, you can have first stab at this. Tottenham are flying at the moment, and they take on a Palace side who are struggling at the moment. They've only won once in the last five games. They're not in full flow, really, are the Palace, but a good chance for Tottenham to win a trophy here as well, isn't it?
I think it's, you know, Tottenham are in the middle of this great run, aren't they? There's no reason to weaken down or change anything. We said on Monday when we were previewing the Europa League game, they've got this, you know, rather than worrying about what you've got coming up and how many games you've got, Pochettino seems to have said to himself, right, we've got Europa, FA Cup, Europa, then we get back to the Premier League. Obviously got a good result in Florence, they can take that into the White Hart Lane return leg. This is a test, undoubtedly, because it's always tricky. The Sunday game after the Thursday is always a difficult one. We know that historically with teams. So whether it does weaken down or change things round again, I'm not sure. But if he goes as strong as he possibly can here, with the momentum that Tottenham have got at the minute, and the fact that home fans, every time they step out on that pitch, just love them, then I think Tottenham will win this game. We're a little bit at a loss, Mark, Derek and Dave, as to when Crystal Palace are going to resume the form that they have shown this season. You're never quite sure. Yeah. I don't think it'll be this game, but I think they might get a goal. So I'll go Tottenham, and especially if Tottenham are a little bit leggy towards the end of the second half, which they have shown in the past. They sometimes just drift away a little bit with the fatigue. I'm going to go Tottenham to win, but both teams to score here.
Tottenham to win and both teams to score is 11-4 there. What do you make of it, Derek? Are you on the Tottenham side of things as well?
Well, I'm a little bit worried about Tottenham at these kind of odds. Firstly, I would say that in the great win is something that you say weeks and weeks ago comes to fruition. I mentioned when Bolasie first got injured that Palace will struggle without him, because I'd never seen a team in the Premier League, apart from maybe Liverpool and Suarez, who relied on so much on one man. And sure enough, in his absence, they've collapsed, basically. And they must be wondering where their next win is coming from. They're without Bolasie again this weekend, I'm told. So I shouldn't really fancy them. But there are worries about Tottenham. Everything Lee says, you know, it does sound fine on paper. Yeah, Pochettino says, well, let's just see where we go after these cup games and then we'll get back to league action. It's easy saying that. It's those players that have got to go out and do it. And he isn't weakening down. He's playing, it seems, the strongest team every game. And that sooner or later, surely, they've got to come a cropper doing that, because if they don't, what are all these other teams playing at, weakening down? You know... It doesn't make sense to me, that. Tottenham have played Palace twice already this season and beaten them twice. But it's 4-6. They've just played a tough game on a Thursday night. They've got the best chance they've ever had of winning the league. Surely, if they're going to take the foot off the gas, it's this game. I'm just uncomfortable tipping Tottenham. You know, it's a no-brainer. Tottenham should win this. The way they're playing, the way Palace are playing, Tottenham should win this game. But 4-6, with all those doubts I've just expressed... I'm not sure. I'm going to give Palace another chance here. Let's not forget, by the way, that they've won as many away games in the Premier League, Palace, as Man City have. They're no mugs on the road. I'm just going to give them another chance here at 9-2, 5-1.
All right, you can actually get Palace plus a goal as well at odds against 5-4 if you want a bit of insurance that way.
Yeah, yeah, it's just that maybe the draw, Tottenham don't want a draw, do they? But having said that, Liverpool didn't, and they seem to be drawing everything in the cups these days. So, I wouldn't put anybody off that. Palace would have started.
Is there potential for a mug bet here, by the way? Adebayor against his former club or something like that?
Not where Adebayor is concerned. I mean, he did say, I read a report earlier this week that if he scores against Tottenham, he'll be celebrating big time. You know, all this caper about players going back to their old clubs and scoring and not. So I hate that. If you score, you celebrate. You're playing for a new team. You know, you should be made up. I hate all those players who just give it a little salute and, I'm sorry, lads. Yeah, in fact, now I want him to score, Adebayor, and celebrate like there's no tomorrow.
Fair enough. I suppose we should get best bets then before we go. That's all the games covered. Best bet of the week, Derek?
Well, I know that you guys are going to go for Everton. I'm going to go for Reading at 17-10 to beat West Brom.
Reading for Derek. Then what about yourself, Lee?
Yeah, I'm all over that West Ham bet. I think they're a great price at a Championship club, and I think they showed the desire that they want to go and win the competition.
Are you
picking DKs?
I'm going to pick DKs.
Wow.
Yeah, can't do any worse than he's doing, apparently.
No, what you can do is put your finger on the screen and, like, point to something.
Yeah. And
close your eyes and point at the screen. That's what he does.
Because neither of you are taking it, I'll go with Everton.
Everton.
Fair enough, yeah. You fit right in, Mark. Someone always naps Everton. They seldom win.
Right, good stuff. It's been a pleasure, guys. Good luck and enjoy it this weekend.
All right, cheers, boys. See you later.
Cheers, Mark. Cheers, Derek.
Cheers, boys. Week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.